when Israel's long-awaited Messiah finally came, why did the vast majority of Jews alive at that time not accept him? And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, what role does the continuing existence of Judaism have in the eternal plan of salvation, both for Christians and for all humanity? These are among the questions explored by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, from which we have been reading in the second lesson during a 14-Sunday sequence, which began back on June 14th. Romans is divided into 16 chapters, but a more useful way of understanding that letter is by looking at seven distinct sections of unequal length, each of which is dedicated to a general theme. The first section is Paul's introduction of himself to the Christians in Rome. The second is an explanation that without the gospel, the human race is irredeemably lost. The third section considers how man is justified before God by faith in Jesus Christ. The fourth treats of how justification is experienced in living the Christian life. The sixth section, we'll come back to the fifth, the sixth section discusses the duties of Christians to each other and to civil society. And finally, the seventh section is a conclusion filled with personal greetings and requests to individuals. But today we are at the beginning of the fifth section, and it takes up all of chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. In this part of his letter, St. Paul ponders the relationship between Jews and Gentiles in the eternal plan of salvation. And section 5 is arguably the heart of the entire letter, especially in the way it helps us understand the meaning of the third section on justification by faith rather than by observance of the law. Our lectionary sequence spends only today and the next two Sundays on three brief passages from section 5 of Romans, so I encourage you to open your Bible at home and give your full attention to all of chapters 9, 10, and 11, in which you can see how Paul wrestled with the fact that most of the Jews in his day refused to accept the Lord Jesus as the Christ, a refusal that has continued for 2,000 years among the vast majority of Jews. And yet it was and is the mission of Israel to bear witness to the one true God and to prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. After Pentecost, the first problem confronted by the church was a sharp conflict with the religious authorities of Jerusalem, who had persecuted and executed the Lord Jesus. The Sanhedrin rejected his claim to be the Anointed One of God. They denied that he was raised from the dead, and they sought to extinguish the church by imprisoning or executing for the crime of blasphemy anyone who professed faith in Jesus of Nazareth as Christ and Lord. This story is told in detail in the Acts of the Apostles. And there we read that one of the star persecutors of the church was none other than Paul himself, then known as Saul of Tarsus, who witnessed and approved the stoning to death of St. Stephen, the deacon who was the first martyr to give his life as a witness to Jesus Christ. The letters of Paul bear witness to the conflict between Jews living throughout the Roman Empire and the preachers who came to their diaspora communities proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord. Despite the fact that both the preachers and those to whom they preached were all Jews, there was constant strife in those first decades, which led to the bitter separation of Judaism and Christianity. But even two decades after the resurrection, the apostles still had to argue over this question. Do Gentiles who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior first have to become Jews in order to become Christians? That debate was resolved around the year 51 at a meeting in Jerusalem which was convoked to sort out this very question. And that gathering is described in chapter 15 of the Acts of the Apostles. There we read that the apostles and the first priests or elders of the church met together in the Council of Jerusalem, and after their deliberation, guided by the Holy Spirit, they declared that Gentile converts to Christ should not first become Jews in order to become Christians. This meant that Gentile Christians would not be circumcised or taught to observe the law of Moses, except for the perennial parts of the first 10 commandments, which summarize the eternal moral law that binds all people of every time and place. After the Council of Jerusalem, the paths of Jews and Christians were sundered, bringing great sadness to St. Paul, who was a Pharisee, who had studied in Jerusalem under the greatest rabbi of his age, and whose entire life had been shaped by study of the Torah and worship in the temple. During the years of Paul's mission as the teacher of the Gentiles, he continually pondered the mystery of how and why most of the children of Israel failed to see and welcome the Messiah when finally he came. And that is where we begin today in chapter 9 of Romans. Paul wrote, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the sonship, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and of their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen." Paul is here saying that if his brother Jews could only see Jesus with the eyes of faith as the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets, then he himself, Paul, would gladly accept being cut off from Christ forever. That is the measure of his sorrow, that most Jews alive in his day would not accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And that is where our passage from chapter 9 ends today. But then Paul goes on to talk about how God has revealed the eternal plan of salvation in puzzling ways, such as embracing Isaac while sending away Ishmael, and accepting Jacob while rejecting Esau. Paul's point is that each of these strange inflection points, though mysterious to us, is in some way a part of the gradual unfolding of one plan for the salvation not just of a single tribe or nation, but of the entire human race. This is the universal or Catholic plan of salvation that was revealed finally and fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Paul concludes that the ratification of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ does not nullify the first covenant with the house of Israel, because the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. Paul adds that until the full number of the Gentiles is added to the house of Israel, as a wild shoot is grafted onto an olive tree, the providence of God will sustain those Jews upon whom a darkening has descended, a darkening which prevents them from seeing the Messiah. And for that reason, the fact of Judaism continuing in the world is, in ways that we cannot yet perceive, for the sake of the salvation of all the nations by the Lord Jesus Christ. On the next two Sundays, we will skip over the rest of chapter 9 and all of chapter 10, and then press on to two brief readings from chapter 11 of Romans. So do take time this week to read and study all of chapters 9, 10, and 11. One of the things you'll notice in chapters 9 and 10 is Paul's pondering of the difference between being a Jew by biological fact and being a Jew by religious observance. And this distinction can be useful for us in a time when many millions of baptized Christians live like pagans rather than as disciples of the Lord Jesus. We know that the sacraments or mysteries of Christ are the ordinary means of grace, and they are given by God to bring about in us the obedience of faith and the life of the new creation. But the sacraments are not magic, and they do not have their full intended effects in the life of anyone who does not join the church in divine worship, who does not read and believe Holy Scripture, who will not be changed by grace, who refuses to acknowledge that his sins are sins, and who will not surrender his life in the obedience of faith to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, even those who are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ must receive the gospel with saving faith, hope, and love, and then follow Christ in the way of the cross, or else they make their baptism an empty act of superstition rather than the beginning and foundation of a life of discipleship. In chapter 9 of Romans, St. Paul describes a great division among Jews about their relationship to the living God on the basis of birth rather than belief. He writes, "It is not as though the word of God had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his descendants. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned as descendants." And friends, this is why no one who has been baptized should ever be content with a life that is not centered on Jesus Christ and lived according to the truth of his gospel. And that, in turn, is why those Christians who do understand this distinction and who do live a Christocentric life should never cease trying to explain to baptized pagans what they are missing, the very heart of their existence, and how to return to him alone who is the way, the truth, and the life. For the sake of those who have been baptized, but who are not yet or no longer living as faithful Christians, let us then resolve to live by radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism, so that we may be convincing and compelling witnesses to the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord.